Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ocean Lovers podcast. We're back. I'm Kirsty, and we have Katie here again.
Hello.
We are so excited because we're like weeks overdue with this episode.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. Last week was probably the worst because of the technical issues. Which
I think we planned this episode like at the end of July.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. So I finally figured out, I mentioned in our Instagram stories, but my husband finally figured out it's not even my speaker or my headphones for the podcast. It's actually my actual iMac, which sucks. It's the port where you plug in everything. So I'm hoping they'll fix it. I don't know if it's even under warranty or whatever. So now I have to lug my whole iMac to Apple and see what they can do. So that should be fun.
So dedication.
So now I'm on my laptop until then. That way I can use my mic and not my crappy headphones. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
So we're going to give some updates, but this episode will be about, I actually gave a sneak peek on this on our Patreon page last week before we didn't upload. So they got like a true sneak peek because over a week. So that's good for them. Good for them, for our patrons. But yeah, we're doing it on endangered sharks. And yeah, we actually talked about doing sharks and we're like, what can we do? And we both came up with the whole endangered part of it. So I thought that was really cool. And we're each going to talk about three different sharks. So we made sure we didn't do the same one. And yeah, so we're going to talk about it, but first, updates, any updates with you? I know you've had a week, so we don't have to get,
I've had an interesting week. I think when I last was on here, I was about to start my internship at the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now at the zoo full force. I'm there 3 days a week and it'll be over October 5th. And then I'm moving on to a part-time position with them. But yeah, I've been working with three California sea lions, two North American river otters, and oddly enough, a cheetah and a yellow lab.
Oh, wow.
They're all part of the same department. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. Any other updates?
I don't think so. Just I'm going to be finishing school in February, so I'm cramming all that out. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to go back this semester, but everything's like pretty full. So I'm like, you know what? Like, I really miss school. Like, I miss it really. I'm like one of those nerds where I'm like, I want to be in school.
Yeah.
But I was like, everything, this fall's going to be crazy for me as it is with my daughter's like first everything. First Christmas.
That's exciting.
First Halloween. I know. I'm super excited. And then I was really thinking, I'm like, do I really want to like mix that with the semester of school right now? So I just decided to kind of.
Enjoy your family.
I know.
You can always come back.
I'm so behind. I really need to get back into it. But yeah, not too much. I'm back. I mentioned this. I don't know if you ever heard this episode of talking about Happy Whale. We talked about it a couple times. Well, I am doing the social media for Happy Whale. So I did it when I was pregnant, I believe. Yeah, with Ted Cheeseman. And so I was doing it for quite a few months. And then once I went on maternity leave, I took some time off before. And he was amazing about it. He knew that was going to happen. And then I pretty much just kind of took as much time as I needed after having her. And then I reached out to him, what was it, a couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I was like, well, if you need anything, he's like, yep, let's do it. So I was like, okay, so I'm gonna be doing the social media for Happy Whale again. Yes. And we just did the first post technically yesterday or the day before, maybe the day before. I think it was Monday, which wasn't a very happy post, unfortunately, even though it's from Happy Whale. I don't know if you know about the whale Fran. It's a humpback whale. She was, I believe, 17 years old. I'd have to go back and look. But unfortunately, she was found beached on the Half Moon Bay, California beach over there. and it was from a ship strike, and she was the most well-known humpback from Happy Whale. Everybody took fluke photos of her and reported her on Happy Whale. So yeah, it's been really sad in the whale community. Yeah, everybody, you know, I made a whole post about it on Happy Whale, and we got a bunch of people to submit their photos that they took of her out on the water. And so we like reposted those, and we noticed a lot of other people are reposting the Happy Whale post. So it's it's cool to see the community come together and kind of share her and how she affected other people's lives. And
for sure.
So it's sad. It's sad, ship strike, but hopefully they'll know more. And that's actually one thing that I was going to tell you, is maybe we can get somebody on the podcast that knows more about the situation. The people that like went out on, I think I want to say the Marine Mammal Center went out on the beach and did some tests and samples. So I'll look into it, and then maybe we can figure it out. Let's see, is there anything else? I might be doing an internship. Maybe. So for those that are listening, the last person I believe I had on the podcast, I know we took a couple weeks before
it's a harbor.
Yeah, so from Harbor Wild Watch, Rachel. Mm-hmm. So I got connected with a girl, Stina. Yeah. And I'm just going to be basically doing almost like a newsletter, possibly.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I guess you just kind of input information about the Salish Sea and like marine critters about it. And then you like submit it that way. And then, you know, they approve it. So it'll be virtual. So that'll be nice. I can do stuff from home, send it off to them, and they're able to put this in their newsletter. So I might be doing that as a little internship on the side, which is really awesome. So for those that are listening, like we were kind of talking about it before we started recording with venturing out and trying to do volunteer work, but not breaking your back trying to do it either. Mm. And making sure like, you know, you're respected and whatnot. But anyway, we're not going to go too far into that. But anyway, it's just something that I can add to my resume and experience and meet new people. So I'm super excited to start that. And yeah, that's really, really it with me.
Awesome.
Just two new little things.
That is fun.
Yeah. Okay. So who should kick it off? Which sharks do you have? Should we even name them or just go like one by one?
Up to you. I'm fine with name. Do you want to leave it a surprise?
Okay, let's leave it to a surprise. We'll do that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Like, I can't make up my mind. All right. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first? You should go first.
You go first. You know the ropes.
Okay. So the first one, this is, I don't want to sound stupid, but I don't know if it makes a difference if you say Caribbean or Caribbean reef shark.
I think it depends on the context, because I'll say like I'll say Pirates of the Caribbean, but I'll say I'm going to the Caribbean.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite.
Really? Okay.
I say Pirates of the Caribbean, but when I'm thinking of this shark, I think Caribbean.
Wait, that's what I just said.
No.
Wait, no, it's not.
No.
Never mind. Is it? Wait, I say Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, you said Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean? Pirates of the Caribbean.
We'll listen back, but...
Tomato, tomato.
But yeah, I don't know why. Like, when I think of the reef shark, I think Caribbean. Like, I don't know why I feel like that's, like, the way to say it.
No, that makes sense to me, too.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm going to say that. So, the first shark I have... Let me get closer to my mic. My stuff's all out of the norm because I'm on my laptop. Is the Caribbean reef shark. So... we got a lot of our information from the, what is it? The IUCN
Red
website.
List.
Yeah. Because it's way more accurate. So we tried to get a lot of our information from there. And then a little bit here and there too. Like there's little things that I found through that website. And then I kind of went off from there and like researched other stuff. So this reef shark was last assessed in July of 2019. So it's been a couple years. One thing I noticed with all of these sharks too is that they don't have like a set number or really
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Yeah, I noticed that on those. So they don't really have a current count estimation. These sharks are also called reef sharks. Oh, and like we said in the beginning, these are endangered sharks. So all of these are endangered in case you missed that. So these ones are called reef sharks, or they have a nickname called sleeping sharks. And I guess this is due to their behavior of lying motionless on the seafloor. They have a unique color to them. So apparently they're white to yellow on the ventral side, and they're grayish brown on the dorsal side. They do have larger eyes, and their snout is really different compared to other sharks. So I guess it's more rounded and short. So that's like a good indication of how to identify these sharks. The location, they are found in the Western and Central and Southwest Atlantic Oceans from, let's see. Oh no, I think I had a typo. So the Bahamas, the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean Sea to Brazil, and I believe North Carolina as well. And I already said they don't have a current count estimation, which I guess would be kind of hard, huh?
Yeah.
To do that. Yeah.
I mean, it probably would be easier for a species that's, you know, very critically endangered, but
yeah, like if they know the regions, I mean, I get it's probably still like quite a few sharks, but
yeah,
you would think they'd have an estimation. Let's see. They are not aggressive, but they've had encounters with divers, but it's usually when people go spearfishing where the sharks tend to not be like aggressive, but they definitely act more on it with a
territorial
diver. Yeah, they're territorial, and I guess they'll like take the fish and stuff. So again, they're not aggressive. They're not aggressive at all towards people unless that's happening. They actually tend to ignore humans, which that kind of reminded me of leopard sharks. Some people think it's like crazy that they're in La Jolla and you could be like waist deep into the water right there and they'll just like swim around you, like if you're still. But the second you move, like they just kind of swim away. They don't care about people. There's no shark attack. What is it? I can't think. It's literally 7:50 p.m. and it's what time for you?
10:50.
Yeah, it's late, people.
It's okay.
There's no documentation of attacks. I think there was like one, but there was a reason behind it. It was like an accident, or wasn't even like, I don't even think it left like a mark. Like that's how, yeah. So they didn't even really count that one. So they do eat fish in the reefs, like large crustaceans, cephalopods. And a fun fact about these sharks, that something that I did not know, is they have a really unique feature to them. So apparently they are able to revert or purge their own stomachs.
I know.
I was like, what? So I guess this helps when they purge. I guess they purge the parasites, mucus, or any abnormal objects in their stomachs. So it's gross, but cool. So I didn't know that. and they only live, at least we know, that they only live to be around 10 years old or 10 years. So I was kind of surprised by that. Their habitats, they are typically in the, habitats, oceanic and neritic, I believe is how you say it, these zones. So basically that means that these sharks like both shallow and a little bit of on the deeper water side. So if you're wondering about the zones, I'll leave images on our Patreon page, our Facebook page and all that. And I'll leave it out to the public, so it's not just our Patreon seeing it. So if you guys want to see those images, at least you can go on there without being a patron to see. There's an intertidal zone, then there's the neritic zone and the oceanic zone. So there's also another image that I'll share on there that shows more specifically on different zones, but for this shark, that's kind of what we're going to talk about. The Caribbean shark is a tropical inshore shark that typically stays around the coral reef regions, which is why they're eating those crustaceans and everything around there. But it also has a wide depth range. So from the Nordic zone, which is fairly shallow, to 378 meters, which is 1,240 feet deep. The maximum length for these sharks is roughly 9.6 feet. The males will mature around 4.9 to 5.5. And I kind of rounded those, so it's not very specific from the information that you get on the website. And the females will mature about 5.9 to 6.2. So they are a bit bigger. Go females. Woohoo. So they're not too far off from each other, but females are larger. And there's threats and trades to these sharks. So these sharks are used for medicine, handmade jewelry, food for humans, and also animals and accessories. Fishing and harvesting is a big thing for these sharks. They are actively fished for their source of meat and liver oil. Very common in a lot of these sharks. And or just in marine life in general.
Yeah.
I feel like this whales. Just, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tourism is a big thing. The housing in the urban areas also, and the commercial and industrial areas. The climate, obviously our climate is shifting like no other. So that's going to be a thing for all of these sharks. I'll mention it just because it's in my notes, but just keep that in mind. It's pretty much for any marine life that's like in danger. It's climate. So the temperature.
Not even just marine life, just life in general.
Yeah, life in general.
Us.
Yeah, seriously. temperature extremes, that goes, you know, with the climate. It plays a big role. With it being in the coral reefs, I can definitely see how that's being more effective because the coral reefs are being damaged as it is. And then if those, it's like a full circle. If the coral reefs are being damaged, the fish are being damaged. And then those sharks that are eating those fish it's just a whole cycle. And then storms and flooding has also played a part with these sharks. Let's see. Oh yeah, I guess there's an issue with diseases and invasive species along the agricultural and forestry pollution as well as domestic and urban wastewater. So yeah, that is all the information I have about the Caribbean reef sharks. I swear the purging thing is still like where they can purge their stomachs. I'm curious if more sharks can do this because I have no idea.
Yeah, I do have a shark on my list that has something to do with, you know, parasitic expulsion, but not of their internal organs. So
fun stuff.
That's very interesting. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a shark that is also a shallow reef shark. This is the zebra shark. So there are two different populations right now. There's one in the eastern Indonesian area, and then the Southeast Asian population, which is the one that's endangered. They're bottom dwellers in the Indo-West Pacific, and they're found in narrow bands of shallow coral reef habitats, and they can go as deep as 203 feet.
Okay, so they're really shallow.
Yeah. Okay. And then a little fun fact before I go too deep. We had one at the New York Aquarium. We had a zebra shark and his name was Captain Spaulding. And he's actually leucistic. So that means that he has reduced pigmentation and he is the star of the shark tunnel for sure. Yeah. So he is like totally all white, but normally their coloration, it actually changes. So they commonly get mistaken for a leopard shark. So they first are born with stripes, and they're like yellowish with brown stripes. And then as they mature, their stripes kind of break off into spots.
Oh,
so okay. Yeah. So, and you'll see them a lot in aquaria because they do very well in captivity. Mm. But yeah, so they're commonly sold all the same reasons, yeah. Oils, shark fin soup, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, in primarily Indonesia, the Philippines, Pakistan, Thailand, mm. India, and Taiwan. And their main threats are, like I said, the fishing and harvesting.
Yeah.
But they themselves feed on small fish, snails, sea urchins, crabs, small invertebrates.
Yeah.
Pretty similar to your, yeah. your reef shark.
I know. I feel like a lot of ours is going to be parts where yeah. it's pretty similar, but yeah.
but the way they feed is kind of cool. So they have a mouth that has suction mechanisms so they can like vacuum in one gulp. It's not filter feeding, but it's just like a big suction.
Oh.
And then they have organs on their snouts that are similar to whiskers, and they're called barbells, and they serve as sustenance sensors.
Oh, this sounds so familiar to me. I don't yeah. know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Is this the one that like kind of looks like a catfish?
No. No.
Okay.
No, their whiskers aren't like big at all. Okay. Because they're not actually like whiskers.
There was an endangered shark that I almost covered, but it kind of reminded me of like a catfish. So I was wondering if maybe that was it, but I guess not.
Hmm. No, they have like a really blunt round nose.
Oh, okay.
And they just constantly look like they're smiling. They have a really derpy face. They're so cute. Yeah, I love them so much. They're probably one of my favorite sharks for sure. But yeah, unfortunately, there's no current action recovery plan or any kind of systematic monitoring scheme. Mm. There's no regional management plans or harvest management plans. So I guess they're just cool with you know, killing all these animals.
I know that was the case with a lot of the ones that I was looking at too. Pretty much tough. Almost, yeah. They're endangered. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pups can be less than a foot long at birth, and an adult can grow to be almost 12 feet. But the longest was just over 11 or something. I don't think they've ever reached 12. But they have a tail that reaches half of its full body length. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Really long tail. Yeah.
Yeah.
They typically live 25 to 30 years. So a bit more than your Caribbean reef.
Yeah.
A 10-year-old.
Yeah. Caribbean.
But I figured you would like this fun fact. The females can reproduce all on their own. They don't need a male. They do use the males, but they don't need to. So
really? If
it ever comes to be some kind of situation where they're, you know, even more endangered,
yeah,
they can hopefully repopulate themselves.
See, and it's weird, like, if that's the case, how are they that endangered then? You know,
I'm not too sure how, you know,
like I wonder. It kind of makes me think now, like, I wonder how often they're able to do that. Like, is it more of like a rare thing that they can do without the males, or is it something that
maybe if it's like, this is a total guess, maybe it's like if they know that there's no males like in any general vicinity during breeding season, not too sure, but
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
And they also, last quick thing, they have one of the shortest gestations that I found. That might not be true. Let me see. I don't know. Yeah. It's a short gestation. It's only 5 to 6 months. It's shorter than humans. So
I wish I had that 5 to 6 months.
Yeah. 5 to 6 months. That's it. Yeah, they got little tiny eyes, short snouts, and they have about 50 to 65 teeth.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, pretty tiny.
Yep. Yeah, they're cute. Yeah. Look them up if you have a minute. I love them.
Maybe we'll put pictures of each one of them on the Patreon page for
everybody. Oh, yeah, and I'll give a picture of Captain Spaulding, too, so you can see the leucistic coloring.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Try to take a video next time.
Oh, I have a bunch.
Okay. Yeah.
He's great. I love him because he's in like the underwater tunnel of the aquarium. So it's just like you walk by, you see all these little fish, and then you just see Captain
swim by. How cute.
Yeah, he's cute.
All right. Next my other endangered shark, I picked the gray reef shark. So another reef shark. So they were last assessed in July of 2020. So about 2 years ago, actually a little over 2 years ago. They are found in the tropical into the west and central Pacific Oceans. They also have been seen in the eastern and tropical Pacific Ocean. Their habitats are also in the Nordic zone, same as the Caribbean reef shark. But they don't really go beyond that. So the other one that we or that I just talked about was shallow and like to go in deeper water. This one is just strictly in the shallow water. They really love to be in clear tropical water, shallow tropical waters. And so they can go about 280 meters, which is about 918 feet.
Wow.
And you said yours is what, 200?
203.
Yeah, so yours is shallow.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this one was shallow, like maybe because I, you know, I did the Caribbean reef shark first. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dang. So they're commonly seen near coral reef, the drop-offs and the fringing coral reef. So for those that may be wondering, the drop-off and the fringing, they're just basically a couple types of coral reef formations. Fringing reefs grow near the coastal lines around the islands and continents, and these are actually the most common of reefs. And you can actually visit Coral Reef Alliance, the website, for more info. There's like more detailed information and pictures about it. And the reef drop-off zone is basically from the cliff base that provides a lot of shelter for fish nearby. So they kind of stay in those areas. Let me see. So they eat many species of fish in the coral reefs, like squid, octopus, what is happening? Octopus, shrimp, lobsters, and some bony fish like surgeon fish, cowfish, and butterfly fish.
Cowfish.
I know.
They're my favorite.
Are they really?
Yeah. Circle of life.
They are very social shark species, excuse me. And they have been seen in schools of 100 or more. They live to be about 14 and a half. So it's a little more than the Caribbean reef shark. But another source, this was really weird. Another source said that they could live to 25 years. And that's a pretty drastic difference. So I was like, well, which one is it?
Like a captive lifespan?
I would have to look into it more.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, one just said that it didn't, the one source that said 25 years, I don't think it mentioned anything about captivity, but I would have to double check. But I thought it was really weird because I'm like 14 and a half to 25. So that is
big jump.
So it wouldn't surprise me if that actually was like a captive shark. Yeah, that would make more sense. So I would have to like double check that. Their gestation period is about 12 months, so a little more than us. Let's see. They do give birth to little sharkies, to litters between 1 to 6 pups. Hopefully I could say this right. I never say it right. It's the viviparous, I think. So that basically means they have a little egg yolk sac placenta, and then they give birth to the litters, which there's a couple different kinds. Actually, the next shark that I'm going to talk about is different. Their gestation. So I'll mention that one. I think it's viviparous, I think is how you say it. I think. And it's funny because the other one I looked up before this video to make sure I would say it right, and then that one I just forgot about. The maximum length for these sharks is 255 meters, which is 8.3 feet. The males will mature about 3.6 to 4.7 feet, and the females are about 3.9 to 4.6 feet. So it's really close in range of when they both mature. They also do not attack humans unless they are provoked. So there's only 7 documented unprovoked attacks. But other than that, none were fatal. Threats are kind of the same as the Caribbean shark. The fishing and the harvesting is the same. The commercial and the industrial areas, they are caught in gill nets, which we've talked about a lot on the podcast. Trawls, which I didn't know what a trawl was, to be honest, so I looked it up. Those are actually used for commercial fishing and landline fisheries around the coral reefs. They're often caught for their meat, fins, and liver, unfortunately. And the climate is just mainly the extreme temperature changes for these sharks. And again, because they are so shallow, the temperature changes are affecting the whole, you know, coral reefs and the shallow water. So because they're in this zone, they're being affected just as much. But yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
I like how there's a lot of similarities between a lot of these.
There is. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm about to throw a curveball.
Oh, God.
This one is very much not similar.
Oh.
It is the second largest fish in the entire ocean.
I think I know which one this one is.
It is. I'm going to say this about every shark, but it's one of my favorites.
I feel like I see that every time we record. Every time we record, I'm like, I'm really excited about this episode, guys. And I literally say it before every episode.
Well, the listeners can't see, but if you're watching on YouTube, I have my little basking shark with me.
Oh.
Because I'm going to talk about the basking shark. So yeah, they are the second largest fish. They can get to 45 feet and 10,000 pounds. The first shark being the whale shark. But yeah, so they are found worldwide in warm to cold temperate latitudes. You okay?
I was looking up how to say issue. No, I was looking up to see how you said that word, and it was so off. Watch, I'll play it real quick. Hold on.
Okay. Viviparous. Viviparous. All right. Viviparous. Well,
there we go. Viviparous.
Anyone listening that was trying to correct her, there you go.
Yep. There we go.
I thought something went off with the audio. I was like, oh no.
No, I was muting it because I didn't want people to say it, but then my reaction was like, what?
Okay, great. So similar to a whale shark, although the basking shark is massive, they are so friendly. They're filter feeders.
Mm-hmm.
So they just eat planktonic prey. Although they do have teeth, they have about 1,500 teeth, and they're used to hold on to partners while they're mating.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, not to eat anybody. So that's good. Yeah, so this is the one that I was talking about with like the parasite stuff.
Oh, okay.
So they are covered in a really thick mucus, and that it's so strong that it can literally corrode nets. But what? That mucus, yeah, it's insane, but that's what protects them from parasites. And then they actually can breach like a whale and they jump out of the water. And that also has been, like guessed that it's to clean the parasites off of them. Mm. But yeah, they can jump up to 4 feet at 11 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Sure. I mean that, I feel like. That would scare the heck out of me if I just saw a shark jump 4 feet out of the water.
Yeah. But,
you know. But yeah, so they do spend most of their time near the surface, and they swim with their huge mouths just like open, and it just filters out, you know, their preferred dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So this, again, listeners can't see, but mouth is just open, gaping all the time. So yeah. They have really large individual home ranges. They don't typically stay in any one place for longer than a couple of months.
Hmm.
And then get this, 3-year gestation.
What?
3 years. Anyway, 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So similar to what you were just saying, they have, Their pups hatch from eggs while they're still inside the womb. And then the females birth live young.
Viviparous.
Viviparous. Yeah.
that one.
Yeah, I can't get over the 3-year gestation.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just, well, that explains more why they're endangered.
They can't produce. I know. They're probably getting killed before they can even give birth. But yeah, so they live at different places. They pretty much only come together to mate. And very similar to everything else, they're hunted for their liver oil and their fins. Their livers actually make up 25% of their body weight. So I'm sure that the hunters love this guy. And fun fact, they filter up to 4 million pounds of water every hour while filter feeding. And that is 1,814 metric tons for anyone that's interested in that.
Yeah.
And they have a 50-year lifespan.
Oh, wow.
So
I forget what year. I might have been after our honeymoon where I saw this video. It was someone from, was it Ireland or Scotland? Oh, I can't remember where it was. Oh my gosh, I don't know.
They're similar.
Just but someone posted, it was cycling through, I think, Facebook, and I ended up finding the video and like got permission to share it. But the person filmed all of these basking sharks in this like cove off a cliff.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, yeah, the camera was pointing down, and I'm pretty sure they're basking sharks. I'm like 99% sure. And yeah, because they were huge, but I know they weren't whale sharks. So I'm pretty sure basking sharks,
a lot uglier than whale sharks. Yeah. Like whale sharks look really cute. They got the wide mouth.
Right.
The basking sharks are like, they're so ugly.
They like look like they're coming for you, but really they look
terrifying.
They do.
But they're really cute. If I say they're cute, but I'm sure if I was in the water and one came up to me, I'd be like, oh my gosh, get away.
Yeah, like if you saw that coming towards you,
yeah.
I don't think you can not be scared.
No, their mouth is, they're 45 feet long.
Yeah.
Like I feel like even if it was a cuddly dog that was massive, I'd be scared.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But yeah, it was, if I could find the video again, I would have to like backtrack on my feed because I think I shared it a while ago. But it was really cool to see just all of these basking sharks in this cove. And they're just swimming. So you said they only come together to mate. So that must have been what I wonder if that's what they were doing for the short period of time.
I did read that they sometimes will go in small groups, but it's never like a large school or anything.
Yeah, I want to say that this is pretty large, so I'll have to find it.
It must have been a mating scenario, or maybe. I'm just wrong, but I don't think so.
No, I'm sure it was. Who knows? Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So the last shark that I have is called the angular rough shark.
This one is so ugly.
I know. This one's funky. I think this one's the... this one... I believe is the smallest. At least it looked the smallest out of all the ones. He's a little funky. Like you can't help but love it, but
love it. Two different people here.
Oh my God. Yeah, he's a little rough looking, which is why he's called the angler rough shark. I literally have in my notes, they're kind of funky looking.
If you don't put pictures on the Patreon or anything, please, people, look up the shark. They're so weird looking. She sent me like a link to one of the websites she was using, and it just had this just, like, big picture of the shark. And I was like, ooh, what is that?
She's like, that one's weird. I'm like, yep. All right. These sharks, they're on the smaller side, so especially compared to the last two reef sharks I talked about. So they only reach between 3.3 and 4.9 feet. So as I said, they're pretty funky compared to the other sharks. They are brownish in color. They have like a really broad but like flattened head. and they have like a sail like dorsal fin. And they have a flat snout. So if that doesn't paint the picture for you, I don't know what does.
God, they're so ugly. I'm re-looking at pictures.
Oh my gosh.
they're so
pretty
bad.
Funky. Like, they literally look like they would be living in like rivers, not the ocean.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Yeah.
They're small though, so I guess they're kind of cute. Anything small is cute, but like
kind of cute.
You got like a pig nose.
Yes, yes, they do. Yes. Oddly enough, they have 12 rows of teeth.
That makes it worse.
I know. Didn't expect that. Could you imagine? I know. Now I kind of want to find a picture of their actual like mouth, because I have a feeling that's gonna be pretty creepy.
Oh, I found one.
Let me see.
Don't look it up.
Don't look it up.
Can you see
that? Oh my gosh, I've seen that one before. That's weird. I've seen that picture before. Yeah, that's odd. Could you imagine like it like coming after your finger?
No.
Like, no.
I don't want that.
No thanks.
Oh gosh.
So they have 12 rows of teeth on the upper jaw and lower jaw, but the only difference between the lower jaw is that I guess it's sharper than the upper jaw. So their eyes are actually very detailed. I was kind of surprised in this. So they have ridges. Oh, this is another like weird thing about them. I don't think there's not a weird thing about these sharks. They have these ridges that expand out that I guess look really large. And the ridges are covered in denticles. Get this. So the denticles are like little bristles or tooth-like structure. So it's like little tiny like teeth or like bristles. Yeah. Like they're funky. They're funky, man. But they look, remember I just said how they kind of look like they would like live in rivers. Well, they love muddy ocean bottoms near the continental shelves and the upper slopes. They're found in pretty drastic ranges. At least I think so. So they're found between 160 feet to 2,170 feet.
Well, I was going to say they look like a deep ocean creature.
See, I feel like it could go either way. I feel like they could be like, because they're so muddy, that they could be in like a really like shallow mangrove. Did it say anything about a mangrove? Oh, I don't see it. I don't see it on here, but that it gives me those vibes of like a mangrove type of ocean marine life. But then they go so deep down too. So yeah.
And what location, like where in the world are they? Do you know?
Let me see if I put that on here. Did I skip that? Hold, please hold. I did skip it.
I'm gonna look, because if they're anywhere near me, I'm never going in the ocean again.
No, I don't. Oh, wait.
Eastern Atlantic?
I was about to say, wait a minute. Eastern Atlantic Ocean from Norway all the way to South Africa and throughout the Mediterranean Sea.
Gross.
Hey, it's your job now to go find one.
You know what? I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take that challenge.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I completely skipped like literally that whole thing. Straight to love muddy bottoms. Sounds so gross.
Looks like I'm going up to Norway.
Hey, I'm down. I love Norway. Oh wait, but Norway. Remember the recent?
Ooh, yes. I'm never going to Norway.
I know, right? I'm like, wait a minute, no. Let's see. We talked about the drastic ranges. Because they do like more of the muddy bottom areas, so they do eat crustaceans, mollusks, and worms. Let's see. Let's hope I say this right. The females are ovoviviparous. Oh my gosh, I already looked it up.
It's the same word.
Yes, but it's ovo. Let's just save.
We are both studying science.
I know. And it's so hard to, like, I tried to like make sure I say these right for the podcast, and it's so hard. Like when I start recording, I just completely like I lose it. But anyway, it means that they give live birth to pups on an average of 7 to 12. Some living in the Mediterranean have recorded to 23 pups. So I literally put this in my notes. I was like, why is that? And I'm thinking maybe it's the temperature in water a little bit to where maybe they're able to give birth to more pups. I have no idea.
Just imagine that though. Like, imagine it just shooting out 23 little creepy goblin sharks.
I know, and they're not that big.
Sharks. There's an actual goblin shark, yeah. But
is still, there?
Yeah, this but they're like
a goblin shark.
It looks like a goblin.
And this thing is not big. So shooting out 23 of those?
Oh, true.
Like, that's a lot. Gosh. Like, I could see the 7 to 12, but the 23? Like, I'm very curious if this was just like an older one, or like,
and it's not eggs, you said it's live.
Yeah, these are give birth to live pups.
Huh.
Yeah,
that's a lot of eggs in that womb.
I know. Why is it not playing? Is it gonna say anything?
Pronunciation.
Okay, whoa, that's not what I looked up, ma'am. And she says it so fast.
Ovoviviparous.
Ovoviviparous. Say that 5 times fast.
No, thank you.
Ovoviviparous. There we go. Science. There we go. I know. If I can't say it right, I'm at least trying for you guys to look it up. I'm learning as we're going, so I'm not perfect. Let's see. The threats. I only have a couple things on here. They're caught in bycatch and also in the trawl fleets, which I talked about in the first shark. They were actually thought, so this was interesting. They were actually thought to be extinct at one point.
Really?
Yes. So they were thought to be extinct, which I'm intrigued to know more about this and maybe like a whole other, research, project on that. Mm-hmm. At one point in the Adriatic region. And the decrease in fishing actually led to their discovery. So apparently these people that, I think it was the trawl fleets, are the ones that discovered it again.
I wish they didn't. Just kidding.
Right.
Love all life.
Yeah. They're funky, but oh yeah. Yeah, they're
maybe
funky.
Maybe I'll learn to love them.
Right? I mean, they all play a part in our ecosystem.
Yeah,
but they're muddy 12, ecosystem. 12,
12 rows of teeth, man. I don't know. Ooh, you just step in the sand and
I know, huh? Yeah, I didn't read if they're harmful to humans, but
I mean, they're so small, I can't imagine that. Yeah, they're like,
yeah,
I don't know, gross.
I've never really seen a report about them, so I'm sure they're fine.
All right. Yeah. Well,
all right.
There's a little information.
Yeah, there's the angular rough shark.
Interesting. All right. Well, my last shark is adorable. And I'm going to say it again. One of my favorites. It is the bonnet head shark. Ooh. Which I've actually been seeing a lot on TikTok recently. Okay. Everyone's been like, I don't know, just calling them like baby hammerheads, which
they're not
baby hammerheads. Fun fact. They look like it because they're in like the same family, bonnethead sharks. They do belong to the hammerhead family. They are the smallest of the 10 hammerhead family.
Ooh,
things.
And there was a couple other hammerheads that were in danger too, right?
Oh
that
yeah,
were on the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then there are differences between other hammerhead species, include a more rounded head, as well as a lack of indentation on its anterior edge. So it's a lot easier to see the differences when you look in a picture than me describing it.
Yeah.
But they're just like short, little, rounded.
Yeah, they're cute.
They don't go bigger than 5 feet. I should say. And the males are actually typically smaller than the females, so the females reach the maximum of 5 feet. I think I read that the males are somewhere around like 3 feet.
Oh wow.
So they're very little.
Yeah.
These are also another one that you can see in captivity fairly often, just because they are so small and easier to get in there, depending on, you know, their views. But yeah, so they're commonly found in estuaries, in shallow bays and channels, mud and sand flats and reef habitats. And they only go to depths about 33 to 82 feet. So they're
they beat the most shallowest out of all sharks that we've talked about.
Cool. Oh, yeah. So they're typically found in the Western Atlantic from Rhode Island to the Gulf of Mexico and Brazil and throughout the Caribbean, like Cuba and the Bahamas. But they're also seen in the Eastern Pacific, Southern California to Ecuador. So good amount of locations there.
Okay. Yeah.
They are rarely observed as individuals. They're typically in groups of 3 to 15. And yeah, so they primarily feed during the day and they eat crabs and shrimp and bivalves and snails and small bony fish. So I'm sensing, you know, a theme going on with this endangered species that we picked. So something cool is the jaws of bonnetheads have been adapted for feeding on both hard shell and soft prey. And they have small sharp teeth at the front of their jaw for grasping the soft bodied prey, and then broad, flat, molar like teeth at the back for crushing hard shelled invertebrates.
Oh, okay.
And then females move to shallow bays and estuaries during their pupping season, whereas males will move to a different location. And this is an adaptation believed to prevent males from feeding on their own pups.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So interesting. That's not unheard of in the animal kingdom, but definitely weird when you do hear it. But at least, you know, they have the self-control to leave and then avoid that. They also have a 5 to 6 month long gestation, which again is, you know, one of the shortest of all sharks. And they birth 4 to 14 live pups.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are typically caught and used for meat consumption, or they're turned into fish meal, same kind of thing. Unfortunately, it's really repetitive.
Yeah.
I hate how common all of these issues are sounding to everyone, because they are really horrible. But yeah, it's just like, not even just sharks, so many things are just
so many
being harvested and injured for all the same reasons. But yeah, we'll end on a little bit of a more fun fact. So they excrete a unique, here's a word, cerebrospinal fluid.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
That is believed to be used to let other bonnetheads know if it's in the area. I thought that was pretty cool.
So where is it coming out of?
The cerebrospinal, I would assume.
Like, does it shoot out its mouth? Like,
I didn't look into it that much. I just heard it and I was like, oh, that's cool. Interesting. I don't know.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
We can look into that.
You would think that being endangered, I'd be like, sir, can you stop eating the little ones? We kind of need them.
I know. Like, just don't kill your children, please.
Like, we kind of need to save these ones. Just wait till we repopulate and then do what you need to do. But
if you really feel the need to eat your own child, that's you know, to each their own.
Yeah. Oh man. Cool.
Yeah. I looked up cerebrospinal fluid location on bonnetheads and it's just pulling up human brains. So
awesome.
Not really too sure.
So just be sure, for those listening, if you try to look that up, just be careful.
It's also a problem, or not problem, but it's also a thing with humans, probably. Okay. Totally different,
probably,
because we don't use that to oh, there's another human here,
I'm here.
But maybe I'll look into that some more. Yeah, I probably should have done that.
That's okay. All right, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a different episode. I feel like we were able to talk more about endangered species, which we haven't talked about too much on the podcast. And I feel like we got a good enough research in there. And if anybody wants to kind of look up stuff on their own, hope maybe that opened their minds to wanting to learn more about these endangered sharks. But if you guys are listening, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I definitely know a lot more about mammals, so it was fun for me to learn as well.
No, yeah, it was definitely interesting to learn more about these sharks for sure. That's really why I like doing, like, I guess this isn't really a deep dive, but that's why I like these type of episodes, because we get to learn so much, like, when we do them. So it's like you guys are kind of learning with us, with,
yeah,
you know, we're not perfect. We're still in the field and getting our degrees, and we're still learning just as much as you guys. But yeah, this is a really good episode. And if you guys are making it to the end of the episode, I think it'd be really cool if you guys went on to our Instagram page and maybe like left a comment. I don't know, like, what was the most interesting fact you learned from all of this? That would be pretty cool.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So on this episode post, let us know what was the most interesting fact or cool fact to you, or something you enjoyed listening, didn't know maybe beforehand. Or maybe which one's your favorite shark. But yeah, cool. All right.
Which one was your favorite shark?
Out of all of them, or out of the ones that I did?
Out of the six that we covered today.
Oh gosh. That's tough.
I'm putting you on the spot.
You did the bonnet. The bonnet head hammer shark, right? Bonnet head hammer shark.
Just bonnet head. We did the bonnet head, the basking, and zebra.
Zebra. I like the basking, but I think that might be just because I pictured that video that I saw on social media, and that kind of makes me think of it. Plus, I just didn't know anything about them. And aren't the this is just me thinking out loud, but aren't the basking sharks like really old too? Like, around for a really long time.
I've heard that too. Yeah, I've heard that too.
So I feel like that's like really interesting to me, and that would be really cool to find out more about them. But as of like maybe out of the three that I chose, I think I learned more. Should I say the angler rough shark? No, I think I actually enjoy talking more about learning more about the Caribbean reef shark more than any of them. I feel like there was a lot more information.
And they're pretty.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yep. And those were the ones that, I believe those are the ones that can purge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a cool fact that I didn't know, that kind of stuck with me after doing all this. So what would you say pick one out of your three and then pick one out of the six?
All right. Out of my three. This is quite tough because these are my three favorite sharks. I want to say the zebra shark just because of Captain.
Okay.
Because I love Captain. He's the cutest boy ever. But bonnetheads are really cute too. Ugh, I don't know. They're really cool. I'm going to say zebra, but don't hold me to it. And
you're
then,
like, next week it'll change.
Yeah, tomorrow it'll change. out of the six... I'm gonna say it.
What?
The 12 rows of teeth, man, as scary as it is, it's like, it's so small and it has so many teeth.
Their mouth looks so narrow, almost it's like disgusting. A sucking fish.
It's like that thing. It's like when something's so gross or so like horrible, you can't stop looking at it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how I feel about that shark. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with it.
Cool. All right, so let us know what you guys think on our Instagram post. Maybe what was your favorite shark, and what fun fact did you guys learn about it, or interesting fact from these sharks really stuck out to you? Yeah, let us know on there. And Katie and I, we're going to work together to maybe fix up the Patreon page soon. So we're actually really excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. We'll keep you guys posted. And I think that's it for now. Hopefully we'll have an episode next week, an interesting episode. Maybe we can do like a poll on the Patreon page. We've had a couple ideas. Yeah. I haven't done a poll in a while, so we could do a poll on there, but yeah, we have quite a few ideas in mind for future
things
episodes.
In the works.
Yes. One. Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, we will see you in next week's video.
Bye.
Bye.